I got a message for you this morning. It will make sense. Here's my title. Garden Gnome, don't charge that phone. Say that with me. Say, Garden Gnome, don't charge that phone. Look at somebody next to you. Say, Garden Gnome, don't charge that phone. You know, I have this idea in my mind that I will be saying stuff like that to the staff. Don't charge that phone. It will make sense in a second. But this is installment two of our Into the Night series. This is something that's so important to me, that we as a church are willing to go into the night. I see a church full of people who are not comfortable to sit back and create little communities that are their own little pockets of light, to be safe and comfortable. I want you to be uncomfortable. Like, if you are looking for a church that will make you feel comfortable, this ain't the right spot, dog. Like, you can go somewhere else and find some place that will help you feel comfortable. I want you to feel welcomed, but I pray that you feel a little bit uncomfortable. Does that make sense? I want you to be welcomed, but I pray that every single week that we are challenged and encouraged as a team and as a community of believers and as a church to go into our city and to go into the night, to go into the dark underbelly of society, to go places and to reach people and to speak to people and to love on people who are surrounded in darkness. Because here's what I know, that when light shows up, darkness cannot stay. And we will go into the night. And we will shine our light. Today I want to talk to you just a little bit. God impressed on my heart through this series to just attack fear head on. Because I believe that fear cripples too many of us. Can we agree on this? That fear can be a crippling thing, a robber, a thief. You know, the Bible tells us that the thief, who is Satan, or who is somebody who comes not through the gate, according to John 10, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Like, so we need to be aware that there is a force in this world who is out to steal, kill, and destroy anything that you're trying to build. Like, to pretend that that's not real is sloppy and dangerous Christianity. But also, to simply dwell on the fact that there is a thief and to be depressed and to forget the next part of that verse that says, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly, to avoid that part of Scripture is just as erroneous and dangerous for us. So we need to be aware that there is something out there to steal, kill, and destroy. However, he was defeated at the cross. He was defeated when Jesus went down into the tomb and he didn't stay there. That's what we celebrated on Easter. It was Resurrection Day, yo. Like, he didn't stay there. So is there somebody out there to get you? Is there somebody sowing seeds of fear and doubt in your life? Absolutely. 100%. But we, as Christians and as believers and those who call on the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we don't have to listen to that fear monster. I'm going to get a little ahead of myself in my notes because this is the vibe that I'm on. But realize this, fear only has as much power as you give it. Here's this thing, garden gnomes. Yes. I don't remember a time I was more excited about a title than Garden Gnomes, Don't Charge That Phone. I pray that all of you have that written, all you girls have it written in lipstick on your mirror or whatever, and you know, guys, you put it on your Xbox or something, whatever it is that you're doing. Just like some of you, a guest walks into your bathroom and it says, Garden Gnomes, don't charge that phone on the window. And they're like, huh, what are you talking about? Don't worry, my pastor said it. Maybe they'll come to church because that's a weird title. I was talking to my friend, and he was telling me this story. I was talking about fear and asking different questions. I like to do that kind of researching for messages. And he was telling me he used to be terrified of garden gnomes. Which, I mean, understandable. They're creepy. But the reason that he used to be terrified of garden gnomes, and I was not aware of this, I forget which part of Europe, kind of this tradition, I don't want to get it wrong, so I won't say, started. But garden gnomes were not just like decorations. They were there because they taught kids that if you go into the garden and stole those, the gnomes would come get you. Like if you went in and picked tomatoes or something, like that would come get you. Like, so people would, like, you just have a little garden gnome. You know how they're, like, kind of hidden? Just, like, posted up, like, in the corner all creepy? Like, driving by somebody's house and they have, like, a garden gnome collection? What was that movie where the garden gnomes came to life? Was it called Gnomes? What? Gnomeo and Juliet. You knew that answer too fast, bro. Gnomeo and Juliet! It's my favorite movie. That's awesome. I bet he was waiting. As soon as I said garden gnomes, he's like, I hope he talks about that movie. Oh, that is great. I should start tweeting titles ahead of time and just see what stories people come up. But, you know, and so he was afraid because his mom had these, and he really loved to pick, like, the string beans and just eat them. And he would just pick them and eat them and eat them and eat them. So finally his mom got some garden gnomes and told him this story that, you know, these gnomes, you know, if you go in there and get those peas, it's kind of like Elf on the Shelf, you know? Like he's always watching you, like the creepiest thing ever. You have to like scare your kids into good behavior. Like that's a, anyway, maybe stepped on some toes there, not sorry. But I don't have kids, what do I know? But this garden gnome just like watching him all the time. Like, the only reason he wouldn't steal beans is because the garden gnome was going to come get him in his room. You know, I used to be terrified of clowns. They're still pretty sketchy to me, but I used to be really, really scared of them. Because I'd have this recurring dream, and this is going to sound weird to you, but this is in my child brain, it made sense, that Captain Crunch was chasing me down an endless hallway with a knife, and I had to get away from him. There were all these doors. And I would go run into the door, and I knew if I could just jump into bed and hide in this bed, then Captain Crunch couldn't find me, obviously. Like, if you cover yourself up and breathe really quiet, bad guys can't get you. Kid logic, hello. And so I would go, like, and I would turn the corner. He'd, like, be gaining, and I'd just, like, Michael Johnson it into this room and turn the corner. And I would go to jump into this bed, and, like, a clown would sit up, like, ooh, and I'm like, no, and, like, run out, and... And so, like, my real phobia of clowns, that's what garden gnomes were for this guy. Like, if he saw them, he would be like, oh, dude, like, no, don't look. There's a garden gnome over there. And obviously, he's now an adult, and he's aware that garden gnomes are not going to come into his room and attack him. But I started thinking about that in the context of the things that we are afraid of. Like, how often we empower something to keep us away from something that God has promised us. Like, we are about to enter into some sort of promise and get some delicious string beans. That's where the analogy breaks down, because he wasn't supposed to go into the garden. But I'm saying we are. Follow. How we are about to go into something, step into something, and for whatever reason, a series of circumstances or something that has taken place in our life, maybe repeated offenses or something, causes us to stay away. And the thing that causes us has absolutely zero power to harm us. Absolutely no ability. There's no way that garden gnome could hurt him unless he fell onto it. Like he would have to empower that gnome to hurt him. And I see how often in my own life, when I'm thinking of going into the night, whatever that may be, reaching out to new people, facing situations in my life that have fallen into darkness, that have become unkept like this room, and even though the light shines, I go to face that, but something that I have empowered is keeping me out of that place. Garden gnomes. I wonder what fear in your life is just a garden gnome. Like, if you looked at it and you actually were like, yo, that's just a garden gnome, man. Like, that thing, like if you took a second and thought about this and tried to rationalize this fear, that's just a garden gnome that is keeping me from doing something that God has called me to do. It is a garden gnome that is keeping me from some blessing or some promise that God has made to me. How many garden gnomes keep us as people in the church away from experiencing the fullness that God has created us for? That's an interesting question to ponder and something to go through in your own life. Hey, here's the thing. Facing fears is not always easy, right? I'm reminded, and I was going to put Katie on the spot, of when we had to convince Katie to come up here and sing. Like, we seriously had to convince Katie that she could sing, and it took her a long time to overcome a fear of being in front of people. That's just a garden gnome. Like, nobody here, if Katie, like, sung a wrong note, is going to leave the church offended. You take my time with poorly sung notes and leave the church. It's not going to happen. For a lot of people, public speaking is just a terrible fear. What's going to happen? Like, lightning bolts shoot out of someone's eyes and you die on the spot if you stumble on your words? It's a garden gnome. Like, it's something that you have empowered. Fear is a tricky thing, isn't it? But it only has as much power as we give it, church. I want us to understand that this morning. I want us to take a look in Genesis chapter 3 and take a look at some things that fear does to us that can be very, very dangerous. And here's why I want to explore this thought. First of all, because I know fear is crippling for many people. Maybe you're super brave in one area, like you'll jump out of an airplane, and you're like super brave right there, but you will not get in front of people and speak. Maybe you'll get up in front of people and speak, but you're not going to jump out of an airplane. You know, I don't think that we're always fearful in every area of our life, but most of us have some sort of garden gnome somewhere in our life, don't we? And I want us to be the kind of church that laughs at garden gnomes and kicks them out of the garden. Like punt pass kick contest. How far can we boot this gnome? What I want you to do, and this, you know, gnomes are playful, but I understand that fears in your life are very real. But I want you to understand they only have as much power as you give them. And I want you to see if you can't identify some garden gnomes in your life. And make that a matter of prayer this week. God, empower me. Holy Spirit, show me what it looks like to laugh at these garden gnomes. Put the people in my life who, if I can't see, they can point these out and they can give me the encouragement that I need. I don't want garden gnomes up in your garden. And I'm sure that you don't either. I believe there are probably dreams in your heart. There are things that you've seen yourself doing. Ways that you would be able to lead, ways you'd be able to impact people, and for whatever reason, some sort of garden gnome has kept you from taking that step. I'm out to obliterate some garden gnomes this morning. I'm going to punt some garden gnomes. You guys with me? Look at somebody and say, garden gnomes, don't charge that phone. Genesis 3, chapter 1, says this. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So, in case you're wondering what's going on, God made some rules when they were in the garden. He said, don't eat this tree. Don't eat fruit from this tree. And the devil's like trying to trick Eve. The serpent is the devil. Any fruit of the trees in this garden, verse 3. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. In verse 5, God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Ugh. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, like God was like, you eat this, you're going to die. She's like, how am I going to die? That's good for food. And then it was a delight to the eyes. That's good for food. It's nutritious. It fits into the paleo diet. It will work for you. It is a delight to the eyes. I don't think I've ever looked at a fruit and been like, that fruit is delightful to my eyes. Maybe some of you have, and that's great. You have a weird relationship with fruit. Moving on. And the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Dun, dun, dun. This is what is known theologically in the Bible as original sin. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." I want to hang in that scripture right there for just one second. And I want us to acknowledge something here. God triggered, hang with me for a second. Don't email me until I finish this thought. God triggered the sound of God, I should say. The sound of God, the presence of God triggered this fear inside of Adam. I am unwilling to theologically go the length to say God caused the fear, God was the source of the fear. None of that. But we have to acknowledge that the sound of God in the garden, because he says, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid." That sentence is known as cause and effect. That the sound of God in the garden triggered this fear in Adam. I cannot tell you how many conversations I have had with people, young people especially, who today are walking away from God because they have bought this lie that if they did not know God, and that if they did not know his standards and his precepts, then they would not feel guilt, they would not feel shame, they would not feel bad, they would not feel fear. I honestly can't tell you how many times I've had that conversation. People will say this, "If I wasn't raised in the church, I wouldn't feel bad about what I was doing." And that's been a lie since the beginning. That they think that if they were not aware of some standard that was laid out in this book for us, that they would not feel guilty and empty and shameful. Let me tell you this. You do not need to know who God is. And I say this from experience. I say this. I don't know if you guys saw this video recently on the internet, but Russell Brand, if you're aware of who that is, probably about as far from a preacher as one could maybe get, was talking about the emptiness that his life feels at the end of all of his sexual and drug-filled escapades. Now, this is not some preacher at a youth conference trying to convince you that drugs and sex are going to destroy your life. This is a guy who probably in a lot of ways, and for a lot of people, has championed that cause of sex and drugs, saying, "I have come to the realization," he's not a Christian, doesn't call on God, "I've come to the realization that the end of this road is empty and meaningless and has nothing for me." So, but this lie that the enemy has been telling us that makes us afraid of God, that if we just didn't know him, isn't this what the devil is convincing Eve that God did not have her best interest in mind, that God was holding things back from her? Is that what he said? "Well, you're not going to die. God just knows that if you eat it, you're going to be smart like him. And he doesn't want you to be like that, so fun, sucker." Was God holding Eve back from something? Absolutely. Destruction. But it triggers this fear in Adam, whereas this had never been part of their relationship before. I have to imagine what God's heart felt like in this moment when he sees somebody that he created afraid of him. Do you realize it was never meant to be that way? I think sometimes the biggest garden gnome in our garden is God himself. We have created this myth about who God is in our hearts and in our minds, saying things like, "Oh gosh, I'm just too far beyond repair. Like, there's no way God would use somebody like me." Or, "I'm not talented enough. I can't do what those people are doing." And so, like we create this myth in our mind that God loves pastors more than he loves his people. Because I get to stand up here with a microphone. And God loves really good Christians more than he loves everybody else. He kind of tolerates me, and he loves Sharon Roberts, but he tolerates me. Sharon's the best Christian that ever lived. But He loves them. He likes me. He lets me into the party because he has to. What if the gnome in your garden is God himself? What if you have empowered, and I wonder if you would really be honest with yourself and take stock that maybe the biggest gnome in my garden is that I've created this myth about who God is. And I've created this myth about how he wants to use me. I was, one of the like saddest parts of my day, I've led a very fortunate life. One of the saddest parts of my day is when my iPhone hits like 1%. Anybody else there? And you look at it and you're like, I'm so far from a charger. Like plug my phone in, I get some juice and I feel empowered to go conquer the rest of the day. Because my phone is alive and well. And again, I came to the realization, if garden gnomes mean nothing to you, that my phone is only as good as I give it the power to be. Amen. Right? Like, I'm on my phone a lot, probably more than I should be. I'm aware of this. Like in social situations, like somebody's talking to me and they're having a conversation. I'm like talking about trying to crush a level on Monkey City. I'm like still listening, but like halfway listening. If you don't know about Monkey City, do not download it. It will suck hours of your life that you don't need to give. I don't even know why I told you the name, because now you're all going to go look it up. But I realized that my phone is only as powerful as I give it the juice to be. If I would just let my phone die or turn it off on Fridays, which is my one, we have a thing around here, 6-1. You serve 6 days, like you go hard 6 days, and then one day you do nothing, 6-1. And if you miss your one, I'm going to get on you. So if I just unplug my phone during my one, it would not have any juice. It would have no power to do anything in my life. And I wonder which of your fears you are charging. Let me tell you what it looks like to charge your fear. I was having another conversation with people. I get a chance to talk to a lot of people. And this person was telling me about all the difficulties they were having in life. And they got to the end of this and I go, so? Like, I have a relationship enough with this person that I can say that to them. And they were just telling me all this stuff and how it was hard. And I'm like, so? Like, tell me whose life isn't hard. Tell me who isn't busy. Tell me who isn't tired. Like, I don't know of anybody on their deathbed who goes, I wish I would have taken more naps, dude. No, what do you like? I wish I would have spent more time with the people I loved. I wish I would have pursued my passions. That's the kind of things people say. And so this person got through all their whole list of why they were doing that and that. And I was like, so? And they said to me, well, you don't understand. I'll just go tell somebody else. And I'm like, you're charging that fear. That's what you're doing. You're looking for somebody to go validate the things that you're afraid of. And you're charging that thing. Don't charge that phone. Come on. Throw that down the well, man. Do not charge that phone. And I wonder how many of us in different areas of our life are taking a fear of ours and we're just charging and charging and charging that thing. And if we would unplug it, how do I charge that phone? I am dwelling on my fear. I am dwelling on why I can't do something. I am dwelling on all the things that have happened to me and all the things people have perpetrated against me and all the reasons why I can't become who God said I can become and all the reasons why God likes everybody else and not me. And in that mindset and that mentality, you are charging a phone and you are charging that thing and it is dangerous for you. Seek out and pull on relationships that will encourage you and speak the word to you and find the kind of people who will look you in your face and say, so? Put people in your life that you cannot con. Get people in your life that you can't pull the wool over their eyes and make it look like you are punting garden gnomes and unplugging phones. Get people in your life who can look at you and go, you are actually building a little house for that garden gnome and charging that phone all day long. Why don't you pump that garden gnome and unplug that phone? Look at somebody and say, garden gnome, don't charge that phone. I hope that that becomes a thing around here. I really do. Somebody says something negative about themselves, you just go, garden gnome. You know, I just don't think I can do that. Garden gnome? I feel like I just need to, like, wait and all, you know. Once I get some courage, be like, garden gnome, don't charge that phone. Unplug that phone, dog. Like, I really hope that becomes a thing around here. I'm going to make it a thing. I'm just going to say it till y'all are annoyed of it and you hear it in your sleep. Garden, though. Seriously, I'm so psyched for that. Let me show you something about this in this scripture. I had all these things that I want to get to. Fear robs provision. Fear robs opportunity. Fear robs intimacy. This is where I want to land here. Fear robbing intimacy. Fear will absolutely rob provision from you. Because Adam was afraid, and Eve was afraid that they were missing out on something. This garden gnome that they'd empowered, they were missing out on something. It caused them to miss out on provision that was in the garden. They were forced to leave the garden. Fear will rob you of opportunity because God will present opportunities to you, and you will be so afraid because of some wacky garden gnome in the corner that you won't take it and you will miss opportunity. And 10 years down the road from now, you will still be in the same spot you were 10 years ago because you've built a garden gnome castle. And you've empowered these garden gnomes with weapons to defend your garden against people who try and kick them out. But here's where I want to land. Fear robs intimacy. Do you realize that the devil has been, from the beginning, trying to destroy intimacy? Like, that is one of the most incredible things that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God in the garden was intimacy, an intimate knowledge of him. Like the scripture says, the Spirit of God was just strolling through the garden in the cool of the day. When was the last time the Spirit of God was just walking through your garden? Yeah. Like, do you realize the intimacy that they experienced? Like, God was just, like, out on a stroll. And he's like, yo, where's my boy Adam? And God says this. He goes, Adam, where are you? Not because he didn't know where Adam was. Hello, he's God. You know, I said, what if the biggest garden gnome in your garden, what if the biggest gnome in your garden is God himself? That here's the reason God asks that question to Adam, I believe, and this is something that is so powerful and been so powerful for me in my life, is because God wanted Adam to know that even in his sin and even in his fear and even in his hiding and even in his shame, he still desired relationship with him. He still wanted to stand next to him. He still wanted to talk to him face to face. What do we do when we're afraid in our sin? We hide. You know, one of the greatest enemies in your life is isolation. This is what we naturally tend to do, is we have this gnome in our garden called God that we've created. And because we think that, you know, we have some sort of failure in our life, and we have this fear that's triggered. We hear somebody talking about God, or we're thinking about going to church, or we're going to meet up with somebody from one of our groups, and we're going to meet up from somebody from the OT, or whatever it might be, and all of a sudden we get sick, or we get busy, and we have to cancel those plans. We begin to isolate ourselves. Isolation is a killer, church. Isolation is driven by fear. Why is it important for you to conquer these garden gnomes and unplug that phone? Because isolation is driven by the fear that you feed. Why do you need to get people in your life that you can't con, who can tell you that you're setting up garden gnomes and you're charging that phone? Because they will not let you isolate yourself. They will not let you hide, not because they want to put your sin on display and on parade, but because they want you to know that they still desire a relationship with you, just like God did. God goes, Adam, where are you? He's God. He could have just, knowing what had taken place, just pushed him out of the garden right there without even talking to him. Been like, you failed. Forget you. I'm not talking to you. I'm going to push them out, which is often what we think God does to us. But he goes, Adam, where are you? Communicating to Adam that even though you're here, even though you're isolating yourself, even though you're hiding, even though you're feeding this fear, even though you are being less than who I've called you to be, even though you are making decisions that you know are contrary to the decisions you're supposed to make, I still desire a relationship with you. That should empower you to kick out some gnomes. That should empower you to unplug that phone. Knowing that even in the depths of your sin, in the depths of your failure, and the depths of your fear, that God is still actively seeking and searching for you. He is out there walking, looking, trying to have relationship with you. And I promise you this, if you could get that truth in your heart, ain't no garden gnome can stand up to you. The way for us to most effectively go into the night and to be most effective as a church is to start booting some garden gnomes. There are some of you in this room who are sitting on gifts that we don't even know about. But some garden gnome has got you feeling like maybe the lie is this, that the church doesn't need your gifts. There's already somebody doing that. Yo, that's not the point. The point in our church, and we will always make room for people to serve. I know that there are people in this room who are sitting on gifts and talents. Maybe you've used them in church world before. Maybe you've used them somewhere else. And you got burned, so you're afraid that the church is just going to use you up and then toss you to the side when you get too tired or whatever. Boot that garden gnome. One of the things we say around here is we use the church to build people and not just people to build the church. Like, people are our product, everybody. Like, you are the reason we exist. You are the reason that this church, this expression of God's church exists, because he loves you. Not to build some machine or some organization. When I get to heaven, God's not going to go, that's a dope org chart, bro. I have to give an account for the souls of the people in my church, Hebrews says. That's what God's going to ask me. How come you did not love that person or encourage them or push them enough to draw the gifts out of them that I placed in there? That's the conversation I have to have. God's going to be like, that person sat in your church for 8 years and never felt like they could serve. Why didn't you help them boot those garden gnomes? That's the conversation I get to have. So if I come at you and go, hey, you should boot some garden gnomes, it's because I know I have to have the conversation on earth or in heaven, and I choose to have it on earth. I'm going to have the conversation at one point or another, either here or there. And I choose to talk to you about it rather than talking to God about it, because it will probably go better if I talk to you. Church, I pray that this week you can take some inventory of your life and boot some garden gnomes. That some lies that you are empowering, that you're charging those things and you're looking around, walking around to different people, looking for validation and having pity parties with these people. You can just learn to unplug that phone. Don't charge that sucker. Don't give it any juice. If you just leave it unplugged long enough, that thing will die. Leave it unplugged long enough and it will go away. If you don't dwell on it, you start dwelling on the word, you start dwelling on who God says you are, what God says you can do, the promises that he's made to you. Trust me, that phone is going to die quick. It only has as much power as you give it. Stop plugging that stupid thing in. Let it die. Look at somebody and say, garden gnome, don't charge that phone. Ha ha, yes. I love that so much. Can you stand this morning, church? Let's pray.